Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Longtime real estate investor, founder of Morris Invest, which is a full-service rental real estate company. Before we get started today, I want to tell you about how you can get access to our free bootcamp. It's our 90-day financial freedom bootcamp, and it'll take you through week by week, 90 days to help you get your finances in order to become a successful real estate investor. And even if you are more advanced or you've got a few rental properties, I think you'll find it tremendously helpful. Gets you back to a lot of the things that are important to help you figure out your goals financially. Again, it's the Financial Freedom Bootcamp. It's 90 days. And each week we take you through a different section. So you're going to have to do some homework, but it really is a powerful tool. It's like 30 pages or so. And again, totally free. Just go to morrisinvest.com/bootcamp to grab that free training. Okay. Today is our Q&A episode. We ask you, you ask a question. I answer it if I can. And you can leave us a voicemail by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Try to keep it to like 30 seconds or less. And we will try to answer any real estate related question that you have. Okay, our first question comes to us today from Linda. Linda, take it away.
Hey, so I'm just starting out in real estate investing, and I've kind of heard some horror stories of just different things happening with people who invest, and just some terrible stories. And I'm just curious, if I wanted to invest with Morris Invest, would I be able to go see the property eventually that I purchased? I'm just a little nervous, and my husband was asking, so I thought I'd just ask if we could actually go visit the properties that we would buy from you.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah, absolutely. And so we have a full team. You can fly in, meet in our different towns where we're located after you book a call with us, and we get to that point. Fly in, meet the team, go see the properties, meet with the property management teams. You can even meet the tenants if you like, all of that. So, and you know, when you come to town, you'll be incredibly impressed with the new construction, granite countertops, vaulted ceilings, all of those things. Absolutely. You should absolutely, if you want to do that, if that gives you level of comfort, you don't have to do that, but absolutely fly to town, spend, you know, afternoon with you, taking you around to different school districts and developments so you can see the different properties, you can walk them, you can get a sense of the neighborhoods. Again, meeting with the different banks as well, meeting with the different property management teams that we work with, meeting the contractors, get to see the entire operation from top to bottom so you can really feel comfortable about it. But it's not necessary. I've bought many, many properties where I've never visited the properties. So this is not necessary, especially during COVID right now. And if you can't travel, that's not necessary. But if that gives you a level of comfort, absolutely feel free to come to town and our team will take care of you. So if you're interested in that, just go to morrisinvest.com and book a call with us, and we'll kind of go through that process and see if that's a fit for you. So thank you, Linda, on that question. And by the way, yes, you should always be able to do that. Anytime you're investing in a property that you want to go and see, of course, you should be able to go and spend weeks there if you like, you know, till you feel comfortable. So there you go. All right. Our next question today comes to us from Michael. Michael, please take it away.
Hi, Clayton. Really enjoy your show. My question is about buying a second residence or rental property. I live in a very expensive metro area, and I commute almost 2 hours each way. After COVID is over, my employer will open their office and we will be back to face-to-face working in the office. To save on the commute, but also to invest in a long-term rental property, I am considering buying a small apartment or townhouse in the city. I would like to get your advice on how to find such a property when the market is high and properties are very expensive. I have about $50,000 to $100,000 to put as a down payment, and I plan to at least work for another 10 years in this area. Thank you in advance for the guidance.
Thank you, Michael, for the question. That's a tough one. I mean, I always use down payment frames of reference for like at our company at Morris Invest. So like the minimum down payment for one of our rental properties is roughly in that $40,000-$45,000 range. It's going to get you, you know, a cash flowing rental property from day one that's already cash flowing. So that's basically getting two of those, right? Because you have 100,000 to work with. So I use that as a frame of reference. That will give you a fantastic internal rate of return, cash on cash return or internal rate of return, because you'll be using financing with incredibly low financing right now. So that's my basis. I'm thinking, okay, 17, 18% internal rate of return on a purchase like that using $100,000, two down payments. That's right where my mind went, okay? So then let's go to an expensive metro area where you're going to use $100,000, probably the whole amount, as a down payment on a rental property. But I'm not quite sure I understand, Michael. So you're going to use, you're mentioning it's a 2-hour commute, which I totally understand. I totally get it. We have a lot of California investors that invest with us because they want to get out of that rat race. They don't want to be, you know, doing that 2-hour commute. And I get it. But are you intending to sleep there yourself, like during the week or something? So you're closer to your job, and then on the weekends you'd go back home. In which case, it's not a performing asset. It's now you're living in it, and it's a second home. So I guess I'm a little confused as to what your goal is. And I'm happy to follow up if you want to call in again and leave a voicemail. I'm happy to follow up on this, Michael. But my thought would be, can you grin and bear it with the house you live in now? And if you're going to continue there for 10 more years, or can you move closer, sell the house that you're currently living in to be closer? But for you to get a rental property, because you said rental property, but it sounds like you're going to be living in it in the city so you can be closer to work as an investment, just doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. If anything, what I would consider doing is, if you need to be closer because you don't want to do that commute, I would consider investing in other markets. Okay, buying rental properties like I just mentioned, getting a great cash on cash or an internal rate of return or a cash on cash return. Now you're producing $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month in cash flow from your investments in other markets. Forget this expensive city thing we're talking about. Using that cash flow and maybe getting a rental apartment in the city. And using that cash flow, maybe you can get a rental apartment for $1,500 a month if you want to like sleep there during the week because you can't, that commute is killing you. Use the cash flow from solid investments, not a crazy inner city investment. Because you're not, you, when you pay more than a certain threshold, the internal rate of return is not going to be there. Like California prices, like if you're going to try to buy a condo, or it's just not going to be there. It's going to be a negative return on investment. I just think you'd be making a mistake. So I would think about using that 100,000, placing that in more intelligent real estate, using the cash flow from that real estate to pay for maybe a rental apartment or a small studio apartment if you need to live near. Now, you know, I lived in Manhattan. A lot of people would do that. They had their main home, like, you know, David Letterman. He had his main home in New Canaan, Connecticut, beautiful home. But then he had an apartment in Manhattan where he would stay during the week during the show. Same thing with Bill O'Reilly and all those guys, you know, Sean Hannity. They have an apartment in the city and they had their main home out in Long Island or the Hamptons or Westport, Connecticut, et cetera. But they didn't buy the apartment, you know, they would just rent it in the city. So I would think of that. I think if I follow you correctly, Michael, that's kind of where my head would be at on that. That's what I would do personally. And that's what I did when I lived in Manhattan. I took my money and I made down payments and bought properties in the best rental markets in the country, like where we build our properties in West Texas and so forth. So I just would think maybe a little outside the box on that. I hope I got the wheels turning here for you. If you have any follow-up questions, more specifics, I'd be happy to answer it here on the show. So thank you, Michael, for that. All right, our next question comes to us from Carrie, I believe. Carrie, take it away.
Hey, Clayton, my name is Carrie, and I purchased a property from you last summer, and I had a question on the real estate investor status. I definitely qualify in terms of the 750 hours, but I'm getting stuck at the material participation, because I thought it was 500 hours of material participation or 100 hours, but participating more than any other person. And since you have property management in place, do you know if that then disqualifies me from carrying over the passive losses from the cost segregation report onto my taxes? Any help you could offer would be appreciated. Thanks so much.
Great question. So let me go back and just kind of explain to our audience if you don't understand what she's talking about. As a real estate professional, that means that she doesn't have another job. Her main job is she spends at least a minimum on the tax code 750 hours devoted to real estate investing, research, studying in the real estate investing business. You could be a real estate agent. You could be a real estate investor. Like, as a real estate professional, I spend more than 750 hours a year on real estate, studying, engagement, building, marketing, all of that. So that is number one. And then the material participation piece occurs when a taxpayer is involved in a business on a regular, continuous, and substantial basis according to the tax code. That's it. Let me read that again. It's a material participation occurs when a taxpayer is involved in a business on a regular, continuous, and substantial basis. If so, the taxpayer can check off a material participation box on the Form 1040. Okay. Now, I am not a CPA and I'm not an attorney. So right on our website, Carrie, we have a link called Lower Taxes. And that's a link with our team at Wealthability with Tom Wheelwright and his great team. Simply go to that tab and jump on the phone with them. You got to click that tab though and book a call through that portal, because they'll know you came from us and they'll take great care of you. So go to morrisinvest.com/lower taxes and book a call with the Wealthability tax team and follow up on this question. But even if we have property management on all of our properties, but we are real estate professionals under the tax code because we work and study and research. When you're listening to a podcast, like if you're spending this time right now listening to this show, it's research, right? You're furthering your knowledge in this field. So you can sit down and on your journal that you're keeping in calendar, write down that you listen to this show and you spend an hour time watching these videos on our channel or listening to the podcast. That counts. Research, studying, participating, continuous substantial basis, looking at properties on the internet, working on your finances as it relates to real estate, spending time in your Google Sheets, right? Going through your spreadsheets or your Excel spreadsheets, working on your taxes as it relates to real estate, looking at new markets, where to invest, all of those pieces. I'll give you an example. Like my mother-in-law, for instance, very smart investor. She has, you know, multiple rental properties. She retired. So she left her main job and she's now a real estate professional. She keeps a journal and she spends the time researching, studying, participating in real estate investing. And so she goes to meetings. She goes to that's another area, you know, real estate investing meetings, all so forth, furthering your education. All of these pieces add to the real estate professional status. So just because you are not personally managing your properties as a property manager, you can still be in your spreadsheets. You can still be studying what properties are performing every month and every week. And I would be looking at my spreadsheets and seeing cash flow from this particular property. You know, after you've got 60 properties, one of them or two of them might not be as the best performer as the other one. And you're going to be studying those and nurturing those properties. When you sit down to read a book, you know, you sit down to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or you sit down to read some other information about real estate investing or just the market in general, that is research. You know, if you spend time watching real estate related shows and learning, all of that goes into becoming a real estate professional. But again, I'm not a CPA. I'm not a lawyer. So I just want to preface it by saying that seek out the Tom Wheelwright's great team at Wealthability, have a phone call with them. But as a real estate professional, you cannot have another point of employment. So, you know, you can't also be a nurse. That's going to be on your taxes. That's going to be your primary job. That's just the way the IRS does it. You have to, you know, this has to be your primary operation right now is real estate professional. So I hope that helps. It can be a little tricky, a little dicey, but make sure you talk to your CPA about that specifically. And because your situation might be different than someone else who's listening to this show. I hope that helps. All right. Thanks to all of you for asking your great questions. Really good questions today. Thank you to all of you for doing that. You can leave me a voicemail question by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. There, I will listen to one of your 30-second voicemail questions and play it here on the program. Much love to all of you. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.